There is a narration, one narration, that on one occasion, Hazrat Fatima Zuhra radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she went to meet the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a certain reason, for a specific reason, and she went to the house of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when she came to the home and she saw that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at that time in a sad state emotionally and was crying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when she saw this, she became distressed and upset herself. And she said, "What's the reason that my father is upset and sad? And I've never seen him cry as much as this before. This much sadness." And then she requested that, "Baba, my father, what is the reason that you are extremely upset and you are crying?" And obviously, crying, sadness, there are reasons for being sad and crying. And if we see someone crying a lot, somebody's upset, then suddenly we will think that this person's ill. For example, if somebody's really ill and they're upset about this, or there are some home affairs that they're upset about, or the person's upset about the children's affairs, awlad, children, family issues, and especially if somebody's got a love or a connection with somebody else, and there's an issue, if somebody loves somebody else and somebody hears something bad about that person, then obviously that person is sad and cries and is upset. So you'll think, if you see someone upset, that maybe he's got some family issues or children issues or relationship issues. So when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha said that she saw her father, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upset. Like, for example, if we see somebody crying, we see them, we'll think, is there an issue at home, family, relatives, or health? And there, for example, somebody doesn't have food or something to eat or water to drink or clothes to wear, then a person thinks maybe it's due to these issues. But subhanallah, praise be to Allah, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more than his own children, he loved something. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more than his own difficulties, he would have another sadness. And the Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha said that, "Who are you crying for more than your own self and your children?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Fatima, it's my ummah that I am crying for, my nation." In the hadith, it is narrated that all of the mothers and fathers of the world who love the children the most, if you gather and combine their love all together, then the love that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, the shafqat, the love, the emotion, the regard, affection, he had more than all of the love of the mothers and the fathers in the world combined. So what kind of link is this, that on one side, subhanallah, that for example there is love, and on the other side you don't speak about that love, have regard for the love? What kind of rule is this? What kind of style is this? On one side we say there's so much love, that more than the father and the mother, more than the children, awlad, that Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves his ummah the most. And so much crying and sadness for this reason. So that if the parents, if they love their children, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved more than all of them combined. And Hazrat Fatima asked that, "Why so much?" And Rasulullah said, "I've seen the previous ummahs have adab in Jahannam, in the hellfire. When I saw this punishment, those women that were being punished, 6 women from the previous ummahs, yani 6 habits that there will be in women, due to which there will be adab in Jahannam, punishment in Jahannam." So the Prophet ﷺ said that, "I saw that adab, that punishment, and I could not bear to see anymore. I couldn't bear to think about it. So my love, the justice, the justification of my love was that I would cry and feel emotion and sadness for my ummah, that I don't want to see them in the same conclusion." So Rasulullah said this, and Hazrat Fatima Zuhra radiallahu anha said, "Ya Rasulullah, what were the sins of those women that you saw their scene and you have become in a sad state of affairs? You are really worried about your ummah. What kind of sins did they perform?" So Rasulullah said, "I will tell you what are those sins that those women performed." And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, In which way did he explain that the sins those women did and the adab that was being given to those women. The adab, the punishment was given for specific actions. Astaghfirullah. In this hal, this woman will be in this hal, that all the women who come, they will commit sins. So we see in this that there are specific women that are again punished for specific reasons, but the men are included. And the ulama, the scholar said that there is the specific example of the women in this hadith, just to explain that these the women commit these sins more in quantity and number, but men folk are included in it. That's why the name of the women was mentioned in the hadith, but otherwise the men folk are also included. Obviously men also do these sins, and they'll also be included in that punishment. It will always also apply to them. But in the hadith, the name that was mentioned was the women folk. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained us the situation, the halat, the condition, and we have understood those scenes that the Prophet communicated to us. There's probably much more that we don't know. And these scenes and the examples and the circumstances were told to us for this reason, that if we have these in our life, then we should repent and move away from those actions so that we don't get the same punishment. Rasulullah said that, "I saw the people punished in hellfire, that after they died, they would get the punishment of the sins." So after hearing this, brothers, this is a sin. We should steer away. We need to look at ourselves. And we need to ask ourselves the question that we need to be extremely cautious. And every sin, we should listen to it carefully, understand it, and steer away from it. We don't have time that I discuss all the sins in front of you, but I will definitely, because this is an important subject. Because remember this point, ibadat, worship, is not the be-all and the end-all. Rather, if ibadat are accepted, this is the most important thing. And our ibadat, worship, that we waste our worship and our deeds by committing the actions of sin. So the pious predecessors say that maybe it's better to have less in terms of ibadah worship, but pay more attention to the sins, the actions that will give us destruction. We need to pay attention to that. I may stay awake all night, I may do ibadah and worship, but the sins in the morning, if I don't pay attention to those sins and think about them, I say, no, I worshipped in the night. It doesn't matter if I backbite against somebody or if I lie against somebody. What difference does it make? So I don't know, I don't feel that I think I've done ibadah all night long, worship, but why don't I understand that what Allah and His Rasul said, that these sins will annihilate your good deeds, your worship, because you are falling into the trap of the nafs and the shaitan, and sins will eliminate the worship, the worship action. So keep this in your mind, mashallah, you brothers, you worship, you do good deeds, you do dhikr, adhkar and mujahidah. But if we do not pay more attention, for example, if I've woken, stayed awake all night for ibadah, then to save that worship, then I need to do more than one night of mujahidah to save myself from sin. That how do I get away from this action of sin? So much caution I need. After the sun rises in the day, I need to be extremely cautious. The Ashabi Ikram radiallahu anhum and the pious predecessors were similar like this. When they would wake up, they would sit up on their beds, on their straw beds, on their mats. And the day that was about to begin, they would think. They would think and say to each other, to themselves, that Allah, please don't take me, eyes don't take me to Jahannam, tongue don't take me to Jahannam, hands don't take me to hellfire, stomach don't take me to hellfire. All of the parts of the body, the limbs, they would wound their own limbs. Then they would say to Allah, that Allah, please make our limbs and parts of the body, may it not be that one part of my body takes me, steers me, directs me to Jahannam. Allah, guide me. Allah, protect me, because I'm about to enter into the amali world, into the physical world. And this time of mine that will pass now from morning till evening, that either I will construct my paradise or my hellfire through my actions. So Allah, protect me and protect my body and my mind and my everything from carrying out actions of sin. Subhanallah. So the first sin that is narrated from this hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to his azim great daughter, who he told her the first sin from the six that he mentioned. And he held Hazrat Fatima radhiyallahu anha very dear to himself. And he said, I saw a woman being punished in Jahannam. And what was her sin? Her sin was that she used to backbite and lie. And if the man does this, then he will get the punishment. If the women do this, they will get this punishment. What is the sin? To backbite, to gossip monger, to gossip monger and to lie. This was the habit of that woman. So all the women who have this habit, the amount of women and men who have this habit, and they don't repent from their sin, then the punishment has been mentioned, and which with pain the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that the people who gossip monger, spread rumors and who lie, they will be destined for hellfire. Yes, to gossip, to spread rumors. Now what is this, the word gossip mongering, rumor mongering? We know what is backbiting, ghibat, but this is gossip. Gossip mongering. We know bautan, slander. We know backbiting, saying something behind somebody's back, and slander, to say behind their back, but it's not true. So what is backbiting? That to mention somebody's defects or downfalls behind their back, such that if you were to mention it in front of their face, they would dislike it. What is called? What is this called? Backbiting. Backbiting. Ghibat. And if a person has this defect, if a woman has this defect, and if I go to that another person and discuss those defects of that brother or sister to someone else, or say something about that person, that if I was to say in front of their face, that that person would be upset, they would dislike it, then this is called backbiting. And if that person doesn't have that defect, it's not existing in that person's life, and we discuss a point about a person in front of somebody else, then that's ghibat and bautan, slander on top of that, because it's a lie. And if both of these things are involved, in which you are backbiting about somebody and slandering, then that's called chugli, gossip mongering, mixing it all up and discussing with other people. Astaghfirullah. So gossip, rumor mongering is where you have both things, where you breed rumors. You have bautan, slander and backbiting, both in one. Slandering and backbiting. So how does a person backbite and slander? So in rumor mongering and gossip spreading, is a person does ghibat, he backbites about a person, then he upgrades that backbiting and he has another niyyah. Because shaitan is there present. So when you're backbiting, there's no angel there, is it? Encouraging when you lie, there's no angel there encouraging you to lie, is it? Shaitan does it, isn't it? So shaitan then upgrades. He'll turn the key to upgrade that sin. That woman, especially women, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that women especially have this sin. So that woman, that those women folk who sit down and they mix up and combine their backbiting and slandering and upgrade this, they say, I do tasbih, dhikr, and I do ibadat, but they are not cautious about their sins. If you're not careful about this action, doesn't matter how much ibadah you have, where will that person reach? The punishment that the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, hellfire. And I need to hear this as well. We need to hear this as well. All of us need to hear this as well. So a person upgrades the backbiting sin. So a person's backbiting about person A, B, C, but on top of backbiting about that person, then his niyyah, it multiplies. And he says, or she says, that those two people about him backbiting, and if I backbite in front of these two people, I want them to argue with each other. How can there be peace in their home? How can these two brothers live with peace and satisfaction? So let's break the friendship. And hasad comes in this as well. And envy comes in as well. In chugli, in gossip, rumor, mongering, hasad, envy comes. Oh, look at this person. Why is he like this? These two people, they're close to each other. Let's instill some rift between the two, an argument. And especially in the house, they're between the women, between the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, and other women folk. All of these actions occur. Our ma'ashara is like this, a society. Allah Ta'ala has given to us society environment, that these actions are common. And this is a big test for an individual that, oh, somebody's mother-in-law is not good, somebody sister-in-law is not good, somebody's daughter-in-law is not good, somebody's father-in-law is not good. These are the challenges of life, and this is common now in our environment, in our society. It's become an international issue that is permanent in society. These issues, that social intercourse is broken down, social intercourse is broken down. And from all of this, that if somebody is cautious and careful, a woman, then she can become a wali of Allah. Wali of Allah. Mujahidah is great. This is big effort here that needs to be made to steer oneself away from the sin of backbiting, rumor mongering, gossiping, and spreading malice and hatred. And if we don't spare ourselves from these sins, then we will be punished. So if I'm sitting among friends, I say, oh, look at him, why is he doing this? Why are these two brothers friends? Why is his business thriving and flourishing? Somebody comes to meet you in your home. You see the husband and wife, they have a lot of friendship, mashallah. Where did you get married? Oh, I got married here. And then he said, oh, in his heart, oh, this is a good friendship between the husband and wife. And their relatives. It could be his sister that he's thinking about. Tell you the truth, honestly, it could be his sister who's married to a man and they've got a good relationship, the sister and her husband, but because he's not he's not agreeable to the fact that, oh, he feels not, oh, my sister, my sister-in-law, how can she be happy at home? And definitely this happens in lots of homes, that you should be careful, even about your relatives, your blood relatives, that you say this or X, Y, Z about someone, you lie, and then you spread rumors and gossip. I feel like explaining an event to you about gossiping and rumor mongering, so you can make this lesson solid today. The pious predecessors have written an event in a kitab. I cannot remember the name of the kitab, but it was a great alim, scholar, who mentioned this event. So this is a mustanid, a confirmed event. A great mufti in Pakistan, I heard from him this event. And this was the olden days, and there was a ghulam, the days of servants and slaves, and the people would purchase slaves or maids to work in the home. And there was an individual, and he had a good home, family, nice family, and he needed a job. So he went out to seek employment. And so he needed a ghulam. At the same time, he needed a servant. He said, I will buy this ghulam. The person said, you can take this ghulam. But they were good businessmen, and they would explain the defects in what they were selling. Subhanallah. This is the biggest issue in tijara business. No, it's very good. Oh, and you hide the defective side. No, take this. You see how happy you'll be. Oh, you can bring it back if you want. They say this on top of this. He says, okay. With the khlaq, he's meeting him. He purchased the item, and he sees from underneath there's a defect, and he takes it back. He said, no, he'll take it back. He said, but you have made this defect. I gave it to you in the right way. It was perfectly fit, and the richest of businessmen, that you won't even refund £5 worth of goods if you are a businessman. Then remember one principle, an honest businessman, then his hashar will be with the Nabiyeen, with the Siddiqeen, with the Prophets and the Siddiqeen. And even if a person, if he's honest businessman, whatever he's selling, and he's an honest trader, honest transaction, but very few tajir will you see, very few indeed today. Today, we cannot even find this. The most dangerous thing today is business as a profession, to run a business. So this was an honest generation. He said, this is ghulam. If you like this ghulam, take this ghulam, slave, give me the money. But let me tell you the defect that is present in this ghulam. And his wife was there. The man was there, would purchase the slave, and his wife was there. He said, this looks young and handsome and strong. But the seller said, no, there's a defect that he gossips a lot. I'll tell you his natural trait. He said, is this an issue? Gossiping, rumor mongering, this is no big deal. Wilkind, I thought maybe you're saying that he doesn't work. Mashallah, he's strong, powerful, physical. But the seller said, no, he's got a habit. He gossips a lot. He said, no, I'll buy him anyway. No problem. I'll purchase him. So he paid the price and took the slave. So he was working, the worker, and what his habit was. Then suddenly the true colors came out from his gossiping and his rumor mongering and his backbiting. Because when a person has habit, you can open your Quran, read Quran, do tasbihat, and listen to tafsir, commentary of Quran. You'll sit in majlis and gatherings, you'll do work of deen. But the dirty habit, if a person doesn't realize what is the punishment of the dirty habit, for that reason, the Holy Prophet ﷺ told us these events. They weren't stories, that those people, if they have fear of Allah, whilst they're doing dhikr of Allah, they have fear of Allah, then suddenly after hearing these sins, they become khayf, inshallah. Inshallah, the sisters who are listening today, do tawbah. Repent. All the dhakiras, all those sisters who do dhikr, when you do dhikr, there should be a benefit that the dhikr of Allah softens the heart. So when a nasiha comes to you, then suddenly you absorb it and accept it. Just like you brothers, mashallah, you hear the nasiha advice and you accept. You embrace the change, improvement. Because you are dhakir. You are people who remember Allah. When a person remembers Allah, he's softening the heart. Just like you are plowing the earth, toiling and tilling the earth and putting the seeds in. But if there's earth that's been worked upon and made fertile and you plant the seed, so if you walk past the earth and you put the mango seeds and you're eating mango, even if you throw the mango, the internal part, the seed, then that automatically that land will grow the tree. So it's not the achievement of the seed within the mango, it is the achievement of the land. So after doing dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, then the land of the heart becomes such that any effect of the name of Allah that is implanted in the heart, then that place, the heart and the body of the person will start to become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how beautiful a person who is dhakir, his heart becomes and his actions become. So for not a second should we leave the remembrance of Allah. So that person, the worker, he started to go back to his sins and gossiping and rumor mongering. He was close to his master, and he went to his master's wife and said, "Assalamu alaikum." And he said, "I am your ghulam and servant. So today I've come to tell you something special, but there's a condition. Don't tell anybody. This is between me and you." So now this is the style of rumor mongering, gossiping, that don't tell anyone. This is between me and you, sister. I tell you something. Don't tell anyone else that, you know, he got married. You know, this girl, she wasn't good. This girl, she wasn't a good woman. And he is a relative. I'm just giving you an example, and aside from the story. And this starts from internal, from within the family, that don't tell anybody that you are my master's wife and you are in charge of me, and please don't tell anyone. And she said, no, Allah forgive, this won't be. And he said, I shouldn't tell you this. This is the style of gossiping and spreading rumors. He said, I shouldn't tell you about somebody. It's not good. But because it's between me and you, so this reason I'm telling you so that you will benefit. And that's it. And my Jannah would be made, alhamdulillah. And he said, I'm making my Jannah. And where is he going? Allahu Akbar, towards gossip and lies. And he said to his master's wife, sit down, come close, I'll tell you something. And he said, the situation is such that, you know, your husband, your Mia, in other words, your husband. She said, yes. He said, that look, don't tell anyone. She said, no. He said, he's a good man. And he's good with you. But shall I tell you something? He said, I know everything, all the secret. He said that there's another woman and he loves her. There's another woman. And he's very close to getting married to her. And she was shocked. Her hair stood on end. She said, huh? She started to cry. And he said, no, it's not time to cry. You're going to get me told off as well. Because this is the style of the woman, isn't it? Don't cry, sister, don't cry. It's not the case. Look, listen to what I'm saying. I'll give you encouragement. Stop crying. Let me tell you something further. She said, who is it? Where is she? He said, forget about all that. Let me tell you the point. The crux of the matter is such that he, your husband, this is a very long-standing story, and he's about to get married. He's going to get married very soon. But because I love you and have regard for you, let me tell you a method. And I have a solution for this. She said, what's the solution? He said, tell me quickly so I can do the solution. He said, the solution is that what you do, the one is night time, and then the beard, the hairs that are at the bottom, then cut the two hairs that are at the bottom of the beard. When you cut those two hairs, then keep those two hairs to yourself, and inshallah he will not go anywhere. And I have told you a solution. These are pious people who told me this, that the hairs that are at the bottom end of the beard, cut them and do this. Wazifa, sister, read this, recite this, nothing to worry about. She said, is this the solution? She said, okay. And he said, do this tonight, after today, don't be late, otherwise you will get married and do nikah. She said, okay, fine. So now he's gossiping, then he goes to the other side. Assalamu alaikum, my master, Mia Sahib. Many days I was thinking, I'd like to say something to you. I'm your servant, I'm your worker, I eat your food, and you pay me. If I'm not obedient to you, and if I do not tell you everything that is correct, then how will I fulfill and justify my role? He said, come to the side, because the walls have ears. The people who are gossiping, who rumor monger, they said, the walls have ears, come to the side. Let me tell you, whisper this, because if somebody finds this out, then even you won't be able to save me, I'll be finished. So his master said, tell me, what's the issue? He said, the situation is this, that your wife, she is not a good woman, and she has links with somebody else. He said, huh? Allah, astaghfirullah, she reads the hajjud, how can you tell me this? He said, I will tell you with proof, I can tell you this. And he said, how? He said, I will slay her head. He said, no. I'll tell you the issue here. He said, how can this be that my wife said? He was angry and really enraged. He said, sabr, patience, I've got the solution. He said, what is this? He said, today you will see the proof I'll give to you. When you go to sleep, don't sleep. Just start to snore, and you'll see her program is that she will want to kill you tonight. And she will go with that man. Say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So do you understand the sin of gossiping, spreading rumors? So do true tawbah that you will never gossip and spread rumors in your life. Never in your life, because this will take you far away from the reality of life. So he had spread the gossiping amongst the wife and the husband. He said, you'll see tonight, see what she does, she'll try to kill you in your sleep, in the night. So he went to sleep and he started to snore, pretending to test his wife, that what does my wife do? And there her program was that she wanted to cut the two hairs on the neck. So she came close to the neck to cut his hairs, and she saw the husband sleeping. As soon as he grabbed hold of her hand, and he said that he was saying the truth, that you've come to murder me. And then in anger he took the knife and he killed his wife. And the wife, when she died, and then the clamor spread, and the family of the woman, they came, they were angry, and they killed their husband. And then both families stood against each other, to kill each other. The feud had started, and this is the narration that has been reported. This is a small story from which we can learn a very big lesson about the sin of gossiping. And if a person takes every sin, then is this not enough that a person will be punished in the hereafter due to the sin of gossiping and spreading rumors? So Rasulullah ﷺ was screaming and crying and was in distress. He had seen this sin and the consequence of this sin. And you have to ask us, we have to ask us of the what action, which ibadah can save me from the punishment of the sin if I have this sin in my life? And how common is this sin today? How common is this sin of gossiping, spreading rumors, lies in society today? People love it. They enjoy it. So Rasulullah said, this sin that I saw, this adab, that women get the adab for gossiping and spreading rumors. And Rasulullah said, the other sin is that I see this woman in Jahannam, in hellfire, that woman who did these sins, that her face was the face of swine, khanzir, and her whole body was the body of a donkey. And on top of that, she had serpents and snakes and pythons and creatures that were cutting her and biting her on her head. And she was given the adab of fire, Jahannam. And then Rasulullah ﷺ started to cry. To cry. And the reason for crying was this, that think. Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cry? He said, may Allah not allow this to happen, that me and you find out tomorrow that my son is doing this, or somebody's killing somebody else, or fighting with someone, somebody's being beaten. Will you laugh if you hear that your son or daughter is being hit? The more love and close relationship you have, you will feel the sadness. So imagine the love that Rasulullah had with the ummah, with the women folk, the sisters and the brothers in those ummah. And Rasulullah said that what will be the hal of my followers, that Rasulullah had more love than his blood relatives for his ummah. I swear by Allah, my brothers, the ummah today we see is that due to the love of Rasulullah we are in existence today. Otherwise we do not deserve to have the hashir in this world. Our sins are so bad, my friends, that the earth cannot absorb and withstand our sins. Just like the verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that we have made the skies, the heavens, and the clouds impure. In previous days, that today, how they asked the previous nations, how will the people to come commit sins in the skies, in the clouds? Tell me, the aeroplane today, that you can have the, you be a passenger in the best of planes and high in altitude, and a person sitting in a plane and backbiting, gossiping, spreading rumors and slander, and the clouds complained that until today nobody came into us and committed sins, and today the ummah is in the clouds and skies doing sin. We sit there as an ummah and we sin to the limits. There's no part of the skies or the clouds that we've saved or left. There's one way we can be spared, and this is the sadqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we can be spared. That at least let's do one action. Remember this point. Do one action definitely. Before we sleep, do one tasbih of durood sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Doesn't matter how much you're feeling sleepy, you have wudu or not, but say ya Rasulullah sallam, because we have a lot of rights of Rasulullah sallam are upon us. We need to fulfill his rights. We have pestered him. I have to say before I sleep that ya Allah, I have pestered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we think that when we annihilate the sunnah, that on Monday and Thursdays when our deeds are presented to Rasulullah, does he not know our deeds? Does he not know your name? Does he not know my name? Does he not know the sins I've committed? Does he not recognize that this person has rejected my sunnah, or joked against my sunnah, or compromised my sunnah? I'm speaking about the sunnah for this reason, that Rasulullah has given the standard of his love. Rasulullah said that I love the most from all the deeds are those people who imitate me. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So when an ashik knows about love and knows that who loves me, and he has love for me, this person, and he will do anything that I do, and he will try to impress me. So for us, every Monday and Thursday, we should think that our deeds are being sent ahead, presented to Rasulullah. So we should be cautious on those days, that nothing in our deeds should be against the sunnah. That when we are implementing the sunnah, we should not feel ashamed. Today we are ashamed of imamah. Then can we hope tomorrow that after giving such pain to the Prophet ﷺ that we're embarrassed about wearing his headgear, that we will have shifa, we will have intercession, that he will intercede for us? Tell me, can this occur? The Rasulullah's libas, today we are ashamed of wearing his libas. We are ashamed or scared. What will the dunya say? What will the dunya say? We are ashamed or scared of doing parda. There's no doubt, I've said this before, that this day and age and generation we're living in the dunya, that this is for us to become ashamed. People try to maybe make us stop practicing it today for the sake of dunya, feeling ashamed and fear. If we leave the sunnah of Rasulullah due to feeling ashamed today, so fast the time is moving. Me and you coming, we have nearly sat here for an hour, isn't it? How fast that hour has gone. So fast. Do you remember that Eid came a few days ago? Or do you remember that you sacrificed an animal for Allah? Or do you remember that we recited the takbir? Today takbir is finished. Takbir tashri, Eid is gone. Did you remember that you were seated and in the Eid Salah, and it was a morning time after Fajr, and we were preparing for Eid, and where has that day gone? Where's that time gone? How much time has gone? How many days have gone? Juma, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, fourth day. And time is passing, time is flying. Do you know that in these 4 days, what were our deeds? What is the condition of my deeds? How much have I done amal on the sunnah? In these 4 days, how many times I've lied? How many times I've backbited against somebody? How many times I've said things about other people that are wrong? How many enmities I've created against other people? And the action of Rasulullah, his amal, his deeds, his actions, his sunnah, through which the Imamul Anbiya, the head of the Amir of the Prophets, when he sees the amal, he would become so happy with those who follow sunnah. And especially in those times, in such a place, in such a mahal, environment, society, such a person, he revived my sunnah. Subhanallah. Imagine the happiness that the Prophet is given, and he feels that this man, he used to listen but he didn't do amal. Why? He would say that he loved your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would recite Durushi, but the actions that you loved, he would listen, but he wouldn't dare to implement your deeds and your sunnah and to imitate you. He didn't have the courage. Tell me, what is the status of our iman today? Has our heart not been made yet? Do we not understand the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is our heart not fertile yet that we can understand what is the meaning of life in every second? Look, am I right or wrong? I'm not giving a speech here. I'm talking about pain in the heart. This is such a hadith. This is such a hadith. So whenever there's somebody or something stopping you, that you're doing miswak, you're doing wudu without miswak, stop. What is stopping me from using miswak? If I'm going to pray Salah in Jama'ah and I'm not wearing imamah, I'm not wearing the libas of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he disliked certain things, and I'm wearing, maybe I've got libas that was disliked, I'm going to pray Eid or Jummah and I'm prostrating and I'm sad, Allah's servant, that you're doing sajda to Allah, your Rabb, Allah, then who introduced us to the Rabb, to Allah our Lord? Who introduced us to Allah? Through whom? Through whose being, through whom? La ilaha illallah is incomplete without Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in whose heart he had so much love for us and we have no love for him. What tabligh are we giving? What speech? What love? What regard? What muhabbat have we got? What claim do we have that we cannot understand the story of the sunnah for our whole life? So many Ramazans have gone, so many occasions have gone, so many Eids have gone. We cannot even understand until today that for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu, we have to do amal on his sunnah to get his love. And then we cannot recognize ourselves that why am I not implementing this amal, this deed? For example, why don't I pray Salah? Tell me the reason why don't I pray Salah. If somebody asks, why am I not praying Salah? I'll tell him, look, it's for this reason, that reason. Why don't you pray Salah, brother? It's this reason, I feel sleepy, I'm lazy. So I ask myself the question today, that I speak to myself, mashallah, you are pure and good people, that I ask myself a question, why don't I practice sunnah? What is stopping me from practicing sunnah? What's the root cause? And the answer for this I will give myself, that I don't have importance of the sunnah in my life. There's no value in our eyes. There's no value in our lives. Where dunya comes first and sunnah comes after. We have no value for the sunnah. It's nothing. It's not important. It's not important. I've prayed salah. That's enough. Don't tell me no. I've done the rest of the actions under the sun. And our amal are going down the drain. Because we have the understanding. But this darbar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything will be distinguished. Everything will be presented. Zahir wa batin, everything will be shown. That here, Allah, history is going to Allah. That Allah ta'ala has not given the power to the angels. Angels see that what we're doing, and Allah Ta'ala even shows the look in the heart of this person. Let me show the scan of what this person's niyyah is, what his deeds are, what his thoughts are. So what is the amal, what are the amal that are close to Allah, that are beloved to Allah? So what I'm trying to say, it's important, it's necessary that Rasulullah is our guide for us to go away from sin, and we're going towards Jahannam. We don't even have regard and care that we should please our Aqa, Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what is the amal we need to do? Have we forgotten? What is the amal? The deed? Yes. That whilst you're going to sleep, remember, whilst you're going to sleep, even if you're feeling extremely sleepy, that, oh Rasulullah sallam, your great favor is upon me, and I will recite durood and go to sleep. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is a complete durood. You don't have to recite long durood, oh I read this and I have to read the durood, the 40 durood. Don't go into lengthy recitation. No. Just sallallahu alayhi wasallam. End of story. And I'm hopeful, inshallah, from tonight you will start and you will go beyond 1,000 eventually. Just like you put a plate of sweet meal in front of you, you have to eat these laddus. You say, yeah, I'll only eat one. Then you start laddu, gulab jamun, balu shai, peda. What's this mithai like? What's this sweet like? And he cleans the whole plate. Eats the whole plate. So durood is sweeter than thousands of laddus put together. Say, subhanallah. What is the sweetness of durood? You'll start from 100 and then inshallah you'll go to 1,000. And then leave 1,000. Subhanallah, durood sharif has such taste, enjoyment, quality, attribute. The person recites durood sharif and sleeps. And then who you recited the durood sharif upon will come into your ziyarah and your dream. And if you forget, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself will say, that, why didn't you send durood on me? My colleague say, subhanallah, my ummati. Subhanallah. So my brothers, these sins that I discussed today, especially the women folk sisters, which sin? Which sin? Gossiping, rumor mongering, malice, spreading malice. And that's why Rasulullah was crying. And why was he crying? When he saw those sins and the punishment. So if a woman does these sins of gossiping and rumor mongering, and these deeds are presented, the sins to the Prophet on Monday and Thursday. Today's Monday, isn't it? After 3 days will come Thursday. So our deeds will be presented. And if it's written in a sister's deeds that she gossips, she spreads rumors. And when Nabi Sallallahu was crying, he told us, then imagine Nabi Sallallahu's hal today when he's told about the women who do these sins and about the ummati, the menfolk, such a zaleel, wretched sin. And today when we've revised this topic, what is this lesson? We are revising, reminding each other, summarizing the maqsad of life. We know that what this sin is. We all know that this sin is bad. But today we are revising it completely. And literally, and today when we revise this subject, then inshallah in our houses of women folk, if you're doing this sin, then start thinking. Don't start arguing straight away when you are a gossip rumor. No. Even if your close relatives spread gossip and rumors, your blood relatives, stop for a second. What's this person saying? When they say, oh, you know what that person said? You know what this is? Until you don't confirm the facts, don't take any action. Don't show passion. The person is enraged. Oh, the person who's gossiping. Look, I'm close to you. I'm your blood relative. I'm your mother, sister. That person, oh, that person's come from outside. And she said this about you. And she said this to me. Get that person out of the house. How can that person live here? Get out of the house, you wretched woman. It's a long story. And the man said, is it? I'll see to her today. And then he starts beating a wife. And the wife said, what have I done? I've done nothing. And she doesn't know the poor soul. And he divorces his wife. Based on gossip. No, you said this to my sister. Then after divorcing, and then I'm telling you the truth, the same sister comes and says, oh no, it wasn't like this, my brother. You did dhulam against your wife. The same person that she gossiped to, she says, why did you do this? Oh, my brother, you're ajeeb. Is this how you do with women? You did dhulam and oppressed this woman. When did I tell you to divorce your wife? I just told you a little bit of a negative thing. So this is a bad sin, chugli, gossiping, rumor mongering. So from leaving gossiping, you will leave a sin. You will save your family and home from ill effects. And inshallah, rahmah will come to your life. Let's do dua that Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to be safe from all of these sins. Ameen.